Hallelujah. You know what that means? Praise be God. You know, I couldn't help but think that when I was sitting there and enjoying the fellowship of all you, how good and pleasant it is. It really is. It really is. It really is. Because, you know, I've been in a lot of places in my life where I wasn't welcome. One of those was even on a job. We got to get fired time and time again. But I don't feel that way here today. Do you? Do you feel like that? No. Well, I wonder why that is. There's a scripture, and I won't tell you where it's at right now, but I wanted to read it in my opening here. And so, we consider some of these things that I'm just saying. The scripture says this. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go tell the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not receive instructions or hearken to my words, says the Lord. What a sad testimony. What a sad testimony. They won't listen. I'm afraid often, you know, to myself, you'll find a lot of times what I do is I really preach to myself. And I've wrestled with God quite a bit, I'll be honest. And given to this message, I've probably given this message probably at least 5 times. I touched a little bit on it here at the feast a few years ago, but I cease to amaze what he shows me in the scriptures. Sometimes I think we come down to the point where, oh, I got it all. You ever felt like that? When you got the Sabbath? When you first were learning about the Sabbath, did you ever feel like you knew all there was to know about the Sabbath now? You researched all those scriptures, you looked at all those scriptures, and boy, now I've got it all figured out. You know, if nothing else, one thing that I've noticed in the feast this year, in the messages that have been given, it says, why are you here? You, personally. Why are we here? Well, there's many different reasons, I guess, personally, we can say that statement. But have you ever considered that maybe, just maybe, that's really not the question? Do you ever think about that? Maybe the question is, why isn't God acting more in your life than in my life? Maybe the question is, what can I do about that? Or maybe the question is there anything I can do about that? When we see some of these things up here, I was smiling inside when somebody was quoting from the Beatitudes today. I won't mention any names, but I sure appreciated those messages. Beatitudes. Now, like I said, I've given this message before, but we look at that, it's beatitude. So I look at things different. Beatitude. The attitude of what? Well, I think we kind of heard the attitude of prayer and forgiveness and seeking God. The interesting thing about being an attitude, you being an attitude, what is the attitude that we should be in? Anybody? Happy? Glad? Thankfulness? There's a lot of them, isn't there? So, it's just like when we come to the feast. I perceive that, you know, some of us like corn, some of us like broccoli, some of us even like turkey, was it? Some of us even like these buns that have gravy on them. Sour biscuit buns. Wow. Why is that? Because we have different desires, we have different likes, we have different things that we enjoy. You know, in studying the Word of God, I noticed something. Something very important. It's important to who? To you and I, and why we're here. Do you realize, you know, there's a song out, and I'm not going to sing it, by the way, but I need an attitude adjustment. Right? But we need an attitude adjustment. That's why we're here. That's another reason why we're here. We need an attitude adjustment. Well, what's wrong, you say? I smile all the time. I'm happy. You heard? One of the attitudes we should have. But just think about it. So I thought, I put it down on a paper. Well, it's up on the wall. Matthew 5. Anybody turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5. I'm going to have to walk over here. Are you going to be able to get the sound? Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, it's very interesting. Seeing the multitudes, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Seeing the multitudes. Multitudes of what? Mountains? Trees? Flowers? Grass? Weeds? Seeing the multitude. He went up into a mountain. And when he sat down with his disciples, he came unto them. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. What did he teach them? An attitude. An attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, wait a minute. Mr. Faulkner said something about there's a result if we forgive. Didn't he? Well, blessed are the poor in spirit, there seems to be a fruit if you are poor in spirit. Let's look a little further. We were talking this morning a little bit about translations after the prayer session and understanding different things. Did you notice this one word, poor, is translated 30 times beggar? Or poor, and 2 times beggar, 2 times poor man, 1 time beggarly. Just think of that. Same word. Same word. Same Greek word. Translated different. It's to be reduced to beggarly, begging and asking alms. Brother, do we ask alms of God? We were told. Luckily. We were told to pray. What is that? Beautiful thing, isn't it? Isn't that asking something? Not necessarily. Did you ever think of that? What is prayer? I think Bill showed us some very good examples. But ask. Think about that. The Spirit of God, lonely, helpless, powerless. I repeat that. Powerless. What does that mean? Powerless. I was standing here before I went up, and I was thinking about the first time that I walked up to speak, and my knees buckled. And you know, my knees were still buckling. They were. Powerless. And I pray to God that I stay in that frame. And I know that I can't without His help. And He's helping me all the time. You and I need to stay in that humble heart. Remember, I'm speaking to me. I'm reminding me that I need to be there. This is the first thing He did when He spoke. Blessed. Blessed. How can I be blessed if I'm miserable? How can I be blessed if I'm begging? Interesting. Another point of view. Blessed, I thought, was when I was driving a cab lot or whatever, physically. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a different blessing. Needy. Do you need something? Well, let's look at the Hebrew word for poor. And here again we find what? Contrite. Lame. What does that got to do with being poor? Well, I admit that when I drove down to Mexico, there was this man that rolled up to the side of my car and didn't have any legs. I'd say he's lame, wouldn't you? Do you and I realize just how lame we are? In this morning in the prayer session, I didn't intend to bring this forth, but when I was praying, God showed me something. I could see this vision of it in my mind of a skeleton. A skeleton! Not a new skeleton, but that's what I could see. A skeleton! You know what I asked when I seen that skeleton? I asked, and I know this prayer is answered, would you put some spiritual endurance muscle in on those bones? We need that. We need that. I repeat, we need that. As we continue, we have to meditate a little bit. This man is doing what? Contemplating. Thinking. If nothing else today, I want to stir you to think and meditate. What are the steps to the kingdom of God? What are they? Is that all my knowledge and research? I have a saying that I've been saying over and over up in South Dakota. If you have no investment in it, you don't own it. And I'm talking about a truth, one little truth, whatever truth that is. If you've never pulled any weeds out around it, you don't own it. You're the landlord. Get in there. Do some work. Clean it up for the landowner. Did you catch what I said? You're his property. I'm his property. Again, meditation. Isaiah 66. That's not fair. You can see the notes better than I can. Isaiah 66 says what? Somebody? Tough crowd. Unto this man will I look. Think about that. Where is God going to look? You want God to look at you? Well, sometimes I want to hide. But do you want God to look at you? Your eye. There's a key. Talk about David having the kings of heaven, the keys of heaven. I think he sat down and taught something, don't you? Just take a look. For all those things have my hand made. All! Without exception. It kind of reminds you of the book of Job a little bit, doesn't it? When he started to speak into Job, our Savior. What happened to Job? Yeah. I see some people looking. Yeah, that's right. He did kind of get humbled when he got in the presence of God. When God looks, things happen. When God set forth to deliver his people out of Egypt, yeah, probably out of Israel too, in a sense, but out of Egypt, the captivity of Israel is released. How was it released? Interesting thought. We start finding something a little more interesting as we continue through our walk. When do we cry for help? When? When do we cry for help, Marcia? When we need it. That's a good statement. But I want to put a little more emphasis on something. A lot of times we need it and we don't cry. We don't even know it. When the lightning starts to flash in our mind and the burdens are too heavy to carry, the loud bang is too much to handle, we cup our ears, we cower in the corner. Right? That's what happens. We have a promise here in Psalm 72:12. For he shall deliver the needy when they cry. Or did you notice? It said he. I said they. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. Wait a minute. Him that hath no helper, who is that? Who is that? It's the guy that is not trusting in him totally. Whoops. Just notice that? Again, we'll twist it, and we'll not twist the scripture, that's probably the wrong word, but we'll stand from a different perspective. When we discover, or it's revealed to us, and we begin to own some of these things, we have the ownership. You know what? I really need something. The interesting thing it says right here, as you can tell, these are prepared ahead of time, but we must be in the habit of asking God for help. Wow. Right now, the thoughts are just racing through my mind, and I'm trying to slow them down. But do we realize that there is a connection between habit and action? I have a habit of putting my hand in my pocket. Action, put my hand in my pocket. Jiggle my keys. All right? There's a connection, isn't there? So what am I saying? Let's go a little step further. prove, how is it blessed to mourn? Blessed are they that mourn. Well, that to me sounds kind of, first glance, doesn't it? The Greek word here again is translated different ways. Seven times mourn, wail, and bewail. To mourn, to lament. What's the difference between lament and crying for help? Good question. This picture right here is the difference. When we humble ourselves, as it says in Isaiah 66:16, he turns and he looks at us, things begin to happen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Earth? Earth? Do you suppose there's a connection between that earth and my body that I'm walking around in? I wonder who's got control when I'm not... Well, somebody said proud here earlier. If I'm proud and I'm raised up, who's got control of that earthly vessel? Who gave it to him? Oops, I guess I did. Didn't I? I guess you did when you were in that state. The interesting thing about the law of God, it's a mirror. What does a mirror do? It's a reflection of what's on the other side, right? That's not Paul's sins then, I'm seeing. So often, too many of us use that. It's my sins, my problems, my shortcomings, my lameness, my blindness, my inadequacies. But guess what? When I put on the helmet of salvation, what happens? If I had a helmet here and I put it on, guess what you'd see? Somebody else is my head. Right? See, there's a lot to this conversation that we're having here today, and that's the way I like to term it. It's a conversation between us and God. And he's talking, and we're trying to glean in. The Greek word, again, for meek. You know, 30-some years ago, I had a problem deciphering the difference between weakness and meekness. I could not get it. I would try to understand it. I'd look it up in a dictionary. I'd try to comprehend what it said. But it was just hard for me because I pictured myself as really being weak. Okay? But that's not what this is talking about. Meekness is not being weak. You think the meekest man, according to the scripture, Moses, was weak? I don't think so. He stood up in the face of God and said, "Wait a minute here, God. I got a different idea." Right? Don't sound very weak to me. This is a God that's got fire in his mouth, and he's about ready to take and wipe out this whole nation. He stands in between. It's not weak. What is it then? Well, it's towards God. Remember now, humble, he looked at you. Meekness, now you're humble and you're praying, you're crying out, you're begging, you're pleading, now it's towards God. Quite a bit of difference. I hope you've noticed, as I brought out before in times past, but I hope you've noticed this is a stairway. What happens in a stairway? Every time you take a step, the step behind you disappears, melts away. Does it? It's holding up the next step. And we continue that process. Well, let me go over here.
I think that no one in my back here.
Weakness towards evil means knowing God is permitting what? What's he permitting? Something's happening. He's allowing time. That's a good way to put it. That's what he's doing. He's allowing that contact. You think that Moses stood there and talked to God without having contacted him sometime or another in his life? Let's say like maybe a burning bush. Right? The interesting thing now, again, as we go on, it says he is using them to purify his elect. What is he using? Our injuries, our lameness, our whatever it is that we're worried about. I hate to use any terms because if we use terms then you think, well, I've got that thing and I'm really bad. No, that's, we all have those things. I don't care if you're the baby back there, the youngest one in the group. We've all got weaknesses. We all have things that injure us. The little baby can bump his head, or her head, I should say. You know, the problem lies in our actions, doesn't it? That's what happens. We stand up on a chair. The chair folds up. There was an action. The consequence. But what is it used for? There's a what? What is it used for? Let's look at Isaiah 41, verse 17. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. Are you worried about what you feel? Oh, if I go up, I don't know, I used to roller skate a lot, so I'll just talk about that. If I go and roller skate and I fall down, am I worried? Oh, that pretty little girl over there saw me fall down. I can't have that. See? Or do I just go out there and, oh well, I fell down, let's get up again. I need some more practice here. And guess what? I know the guy that knows how to train me, too. You do, too. It's not occupied by, oh, I guess I'm going to rate. Oh, boy, now I've got to be careful. I'll go into a text. I hate to use the name, but I'm going to have to since I brought it up. The Dale Carnegie course. I don't, if you guys have ever heard of Dale Carnegie, all right, fine. There are some good things. I'll give you that. But let me tell you, if you're continually thought or taught, I can do it, you got a problem. You got a problem. I got a problem. We need to know that we can't do it. Then we can go to him and he's going to listen. He's going to look and hear what we have to say. What happened in the book of Acts in the first Passover after it? What was it? All right. The interesting thing about that is, though, the people, when Peter stood up to preach, what did he preach? He preached, you killed him. You and I killed him. Guess what? What did they do? They asked a question. They were cut to the heart. They got humbled. No longer is this demonstration, and now we've got a demonstration of humility. Right? Isn't that what took place? What happened? Repent. See? The humility came and God looked and he told him, guess what happened? We had a lot of people saved that day. And a lot of people saved ever since. Because somebody was meek. His name. You figure it out. Meekness. There's a couple aspects. There's a couple aspects to meekness. I chose this picture for a specific reason. Can anybody tell me what it is? Reaching out. Anything else? It's in the daylight time. It's in the daylight. It's not buried under a bunch of garbage. I'm coming up now. I can see. I begin to understand that, you know what, the Bible really is talking to me. When he sat down to preach, he was talking to me. Reaching out. Guess what? What's happening when she's reaching out? All right, she's giving. She's giving of herself. And guess what? Somebody's coming. You see that? Nope. They're coming. That bird is coming of its own free will. It could have flew any direction. But hey, I think maybe that one's got something kind of nice that I might like. I think I'll go over there. I see a different spirit in this young girl than that little boy that came by with his slingshot an hour ago. Right? See? Interesting. Meekness. Drawing something. Whoops. Then we went into the dark again. Isn't that the way it is? We get out there in the daylight, everything's going great. But now somebody came along and made a comment, like what I was saying. Oh, now I can't forgive that. I'm in the dark now. You know what? Jezebel told me that I was going to be killed. Going to be like one of those prophets. By tomorrow. Ooh. Now I'm in the dark. God! Where did you see in this statement anywhere that you can't be meek in either state? Interesting concept, isn't it? Mourn. The little girl was mourning. Maybe she was mourning because she saw her mommy and daddy fight. Did you ever think about that? Maybe she's mourning because the girl at school has found out she's got cancer. And guess what? They have no money to pay. Or they have no means. They don't have a mark in their congregation to tell them, hey, maybe you could do this. Maybe she's mourning for that healing. Right? Or a cherry encouraging her. Maybe she's one of those childless. Maybe her mommy just died last night. And Terry's trying to tell you to get over there and talk to that. The little girl. Not to. But that's what he's doing in principle. He's calling out. She needed that. You see, it all fits together in the puzzle of life. And shall not God avenge his own elect when they cry? Ooh, can you feel that? Maybe that little girl was crying out about some big bully that was picking on her the day before. and destroyed all of her homework, and she's going to get an F for the day. You ever think about that? Maybe. See, who's the bully that's trying to destroy our homework? Right. So what do we do about it? We hang our heads and we say, oh, woe is me. No, we hang our heads and we say, oh, woe is me, but we stand up and say, what's the rest of the verse? I tell you what. Somebody read it. It's up there. Paul?
And shall not God avenge his own elect which cried day and night unto him, will he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
Did you catch that? Who's going to do the avenging? I did a study on, I don't want to go too far into that, but I did a study on the word assemble. It's like when we assemble together in a congregation. And some of the meanings in the cross shoots and the roots, and I pushed around the horn a few times. But in my conclusion of all my word studying, I found something that was kind of interesting that's kind of hit me between the eyes. When we are assembled here at the Feast of Tabernacles, what is our Creator doing? He's bowing down on one knee, that's the implication, and saying, come on up. Then we say, oh no, I don't want to. I'm too tired today. I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just saying that's what we say, self-included. I won't study my Bible today. I won't pray today. I'm too tired. And God says, come on up. There is a better way. You don't have to carry these burdens yourself, Frank. Oh, I heard that somewhere before. Frank, you don't have to carry them yourself. But it feels like I am. But Frank, you don't have to carry them yourself. Right? See? That's kind of how the conversation goes, isn't it? I, the Creator God, will avenge, is what he said. Avenge? Ooh, that's pretty strong. Right? Just even saying that word and thinking about it since chills up and down, really got him. I just felt him. I mean, that's something else. Right? The time frame here is when the Son of Man cometh. Okay, I got to wait a little while. I want a different perspective. He comes all the time to you and I at different times and delivers us. Does he not? Is anybody here that don't understand what I just said? He comes all the time. All we need to do is cry out. And sometimes it even comes, as Bill brought out, I thought very nicely, before we ask. But he makes a guarantee here. A little girl. If nothing else, look at that picture and remember that. Tell me, anybody in here, if you were not affected by that picture. Is there anybody in here that's not affected by that picture? If you are, you're sleeping. Wake up! God's going to respond. He's got to. His law demands it. Did you hear what I said? I don't think you got it. His law demands it. When we follow his steps, he will act. Have you ever thrown a ball against the wall? I think you have. What happens to that ball? Bounces. You throw it hard enough, it comes right back to you. Doesn't it? It comes back. We see a promise in Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, God of Israel, will not forsake them. Do you need water? Do you need food? Are you looking for the right kind of food? That's between you and your God. But think on it. Contemplate. Well, what's he saying? He makes a promise. I will open the rivers of high places and the fountains in the midst of the valley, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Wow. Pretty fantastic. I don't think you caught that picture. There it is. The wilderness, a pool of water. There's a desert down in this area. Right down in here. Does that look like it's really growing a lot of grass? Look at the water. I'll let you in on a little secret. That's, according to Ron White, that's a picture of the crossing of the Red Sea. Why am I got that picture up there? Do we realize that the crossing of the Red Sea is what I've been talking about? I don't think you've got the message. I must have done a poor job. The crossing of the Red Sea is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going from point A to point B. What happened? The waters divided when they cried. Then what happened? Oh, I suppose I can be a, here's a little, I don't know what you'd say, I was going to say plagiarism, but that'd be copying somebody else's work, but expanding on the truth a little bit, stretching it here. But when you look at the whole idea of what took place, maybe a chariot wheel fell off of a wagon or something, maybe a baby was... Maybe a mama got too tired and wasn't able to carry the baby anymore, and somebody else reached down and helped them to cross over. Brethren, we are our brother's keeper. I repeat that. We are our brother's keeper. Not killer, not complainer, not dart thrower, not hammerer, keeper. Carry those burdens. I was just looking at Daisy here. You know, Daisy, you've been an inspiration to me whether you know it or not. You have. Because I realize how much effort you put forth over the years. I can see it in your face to keep God's word. That's encouraging to me. You see, you're helping me carry my burdens. Maybe you never thought of it that way, but you are. The very fact that you're here encourages me to keep on going. See, we all need that, don't we? We all need a little help now and then, don't we? Maybe this guy here is talking about the scriptures. In our eating and our fellowship, did we ever talk about scriptures? You know, this thing's really been bothering me, and I wonder what to do. What was he really saying here? You understand? Or maybe they're just hurting for some reason or another. I have to just stop, and I was getting the vision in my mind that we have no idea how much of that burden that he's carrying. Another thing that I've noticed, even in the word of being yoked together, you know, it talks about in the scriptures, being yoked together with Christ. I used to have a different look at that, but now I'll never look at that scripture the same again. Because I used to think, you know, I put on his yoke. Maybe it was just me, but I put on his yoke. And it's a light burden, but I got his yoke on. But let me tell you, that's not the way it is. You know what happens? Even in the meetings of the Word, it actually gets down to the point, if you go around in the root words and you bring it all back together and you summarize it, actually gets down to the point where it's a, you know what a yoke of oxen is? You have a vision of what a yoke of oxen is? A yoke of oxen has a connection. They're hooked together. They're walking down the path. But guess what? The old oxen was always used to train the little guy, or the novice is a better word, on what to do. He was always, in other words, if I start walking too fast, he slows me down. I'm yoked with him. I can't go over here. I can't go over. As long as I stay yielded and I keep my head in that yoke, he helps me every step of the way. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Every step. Not just half the time or when it's too heavy for me. When I'm pulling my load, he can relax a little bit. Think about that. When I forgive my brother, he can relax a little bit. He doesn't, well, I wonder what kind of trial I'm going to have to give that guy now, and being facetious a little bit. But just think about that. Now I got to go back, and I've got to put something else on in front of him, and I don't really want to. It's my little child. I don't want to do that. Do you see how the burden thing works? It's not. We become in the stead of our master that's yoked to us to help somebody else. Hunger and thirst. How can I be blessed and be hungry and thirsty? He says, I am. I believe what he said. After righteousness. Well, I thought when I was baptized, I achieved all that. No, I didn't really. But do you think, in a way, sometimes we act that way, don't we? Maybe I'm just talking to me here. But, you know, the reality is, that's what we do. Once we have our eyes opened, and we have tasted of what? Him. Back to the corn and the broccoli and everything else that God serves up. The things we like, the things we don't like. Correction is one that we don't like. I know I don't. But it's a very necessary part of the diet. Is it not? Actually, I like cream of broccoli. That's pretty good stuff. But, you know, when you look at this, I liken this to a walk by a grill on a steak and the aroma. Why? Why? Because my stomach juices begin to flow. And really, if I accomplished anything today, I hope some of those juices are flowing into your Bible study. Look at some of those scriptures and understand that there's more to the story than a lot of times first meets the eye. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Notice something. Again, another promise. Another promise. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I didn't say it. That's what the Word of God says. It's all about priorities, isn't it? I get the feeling that you're not really getting it. I don't know why, but I get that. You're getting the knowledge, you're getting the instruction, but you're not really getting it. Why? I think it has to do with our inner makeup. Because we think, well, maybe I'll just give some reasons. Because we've heard it before, we think we know this, we think we understand it, but we don't. I already went to this wrestling match with God, and that's what he told me. He said, we don't get it, Frank, you don't get it. Well, I give him the sermon 5 times. Oh, I don't care, you don't get it. Well, what is it that I don't get? That's right. The application is what he said. There's too many areas that we fall down on that we could apply all of these things to. We may do it in one area. Let's say we have a marriage that's made in heaven, as they always say. Well, maybe all those areas you've done it right. But maybe you've got a marriage that's made in another place. Right? That means I did everything wrong. Not necessarily. You know what it means? It means you got some work to do. And I got some work to do. Either case. Why? Either case, one is just as bad as the other. Come on, why? Pride. Oh, I got this beautiful marriage. I don't need to do any work to it anymore. So therefore, you know, what happens? It gets all rusty, and it gets all dusty, and it gets all molded and everything. No, it takes work. You got to keep polishing those dinner plates. Silverware will tarnish if it's not used. The silverware in this case is the Spirit of God that's working on our nature. Right? That's why we bear one another's burdens. Promised by God to add that was taken away. Oops. Oops. Taken away? What does that mean? If something's taken away, what does that mean? That means we had something, we don't have it now, it was gone. Right? And so, there it is. Added. But if something is added, does that mean everything was erased before? No. Come on, second graders. Frank, when you subtract something, what happens? You lost something, but if you add it back in, you gain something. Sometimes I'll do, I have to kind of chuckle when I see that guy. I don't know why, but I just do. I think all too often that's what we do. We try to do these things all ourselves. Oh, I'm in here and I'm digging and I'm hunting and I'm thirsting and I'm eating and I'm devouring this meal. But we got so many little things over here and some little tidbits over here and this little tidbit over here and that little tidbit over here. And pretty soon, you know, we got a big stack on our desk and we don't understand any of it. Right? See, I know these things because I've went through some of that. And then the next thing you know, you're going to have to show a little mercy to somebody, and that's you. Right? You got to show a little mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Seemed like I heard that somewhere today in a way, in principle. For they shall obtain mercy. My question to you and me, why? Why will the merciful receive mercy? Because he said so, yeah. But why is that a law in the first place?
Because all the ways of God lead to mercy.
Okay. So in reality, what we're saying is it's a circle. It comes right back. And the bigger the circle gets, the more of us that's involved in this, the better it is. That's why we get excited at the feast, I hope. Do we understand that? The circle gets bigger. We find out there's more people out there that kind of look at the Bible the same as I do. I'm not quite as odd as I thought I was. Right? That's what happens. I don't have to fight this battle alone. Charlie Kimbrough, he has been quite an inspiration in a lot of areas in this pathway. The first time I heard him speak was in 2001. He didn't even know I was there. But I'll tell you what. At that time, my place, I was so hungry and starving for somebody to tell me that the Word of God was true, I just could not hardly contain myself when I heard him speaking. Charlie didn't know that. It's true. It's absolutely true. He was lifting me out of the depths of the desert, as I showed in that picture, because I stayed a long time and I fought. And I'm a fighter for the truths of God. But it carries a toll when you do that. Grinds you down. And when I heard those words, it was refreshing. It was. I obtained a little mercy, is what really happened. God used Charlie to give me some mercy. But you know what? I had showed some mercy to somebody else. It was just coming back. It was just coming back. I was receiving those things. Brethren, understand, I'm a farmer. Do you understand when you put a seed in the ground, corn's going to come up where you plant a corn seed? Do you understand that? Do I understand that? If it's an oat, it's going to be oats. If it's wheat, it's going to be wheat. That's what's going to come back. That's the harvest. These beatitudes are what we're looking at here today. I should look at the time here. Got a little time left. But when we understand that these beatitudes are to be ingested, digested, and regurgitated. Is that not right? Your shopping cart, this piece of clay, this vessel that he's working on, is a shopping cart. Did you know that? I like to keep things simple. A shopping cart. That's when I go out and I put in there all kinds of junk, lust, greed, envy, jealousy, that's what I'm going to have in my cart. Guess what? That's what I'm going to eat. That's what it's going to come back. I took it home. I cherished it. I will not forgive him because he did that. Doesn't matter. What have you done? You crossed the line. You went back over somewhere else. Didn't you? This merciful line is a tightrope. This is what I look at. I don't mean that it makes it hard. I just mean it takes work. It takes work. And as Bill said, I keep referring back to his message, but, you know, why is it so hard to forgive? I can tell you why. You want to know why it's hard to forgive? You don't want to. Pretty simple, isn't it? We don't want to. Guess what? What if our God felt that way about you and I? Those bunch of worms. Jacob, you're a worm. Mankind, you're just a worm. Go out and do your thing. I'll step on you when I feel like it. He's got the right, you know. He does. But he's merciful. What am I saying? I'm saying that we have to become like him. in our walk. Whoops. We're eating at his table. What's going to happen? The end result is we're going to be like him, right? If we really and truly eat of it. Pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall not see God. Some little kid told me, you said no. That's right. They will see God. That's what it says. I didn't make that promise. He did. Take a look at that picture. Is that what you see when you look in the mirror? Is that what I see when I look in the mirror? Doesn't that picture do something to you? It did to me when I looked at it. Just, here I am. You know, it even gives the impression that I kind of like you, doesn't it? Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemaker, children of God. Children of God, peacemaker. Something to think about, isn't it? Are you a peacemaker in your home? Between your brothers and your sisters, and between your mothers and dads, and through your next door neighbors, and through your husbands and wives, and are you a peacemaker? Like this. What a contrast. Most marriages today are built on the foundation of 50-50 coming in. That's what they think, but it never is. It doesn't work. What does it imply? That implies that somebody here in this picture had to carry the burden of the other person, and they loved it. It's kind of tough to do sometimes. Persecuted. Oh, man, I stood up for God and all I got was persecution, and oh, man, I don't know if I want to ever do that again. Isn't that what our human nature says? But look what it says. For theirs is the kingdom of God, another promise. I have to hurry. Persecuted. Sometimes that's what we look like. We're going down the road with all these burdens, and our donkey is carrying load beside us. The surroundings aren't very beautiful, are they? Reviled. Now we're raising it up. We're increasing the intensity. Why is this important? We need to understand that every step of the way we keep building, we keep going, we keep on gaining, we're going towards Him, we're developing character like Him, we're becoming more like Him, and as we become more like Him, He can give us more responsibilities, because He will not put that upon you which you cannot stand. And they do. And the more they see Him, the more hatred that comes out against Him. And you as a carrier of Him. We raise it up. You see, there's quite a difference between revival and persecution, isn't there? Look at the muscles. This guy's really going to let you have it. You've grown now. Guess what? Rejoice! Oh, I'm not going to rejoice when I see that guy coming at me with a hammer. Rejoice! For great is your reward. You don't rejoice because of the reward. You rejoice because He is the rewarder. Rejoice. Just picture that picture after the last two you've just seen. What a difference in attitude and gratitude. They went through the reviling. They went through the persecution. But look, guess what? When Paul was in prison, they sang hymns. Maybe he had some of these qualities that he was teaching on the mountain when he sat down. Think about that. So, this is a whole sermon in itself. But we look at salt and we think, well, salt is just something that we season our food with. Spiritual salt is what? It's a preservative. What are we preserving? The way that God has been training us through all of this training that we sat down to teach. We're going to preserve it. You're going to own it. You're going to take it and be part of you. You're going to put it on the skeleton that I seen this morning. You're going to put it on that skeleton. And that skeleton is going to get revived in Ezekiel 37. Right? The valley of the dry bones in 38 and so forth. The next thing that came was the idea, burdened. Yeah, we're burdened. But he's going to free it. He's going to open those gates. A promise by God to open those gates, really. If you look at this picture, you'll see a little bit of confusion in the background, a little bit of mess. Somebody's messing with our environment. Shaking the salt shaker, so to speak. Isn't that what happens? What happens to the salt? Does it just lay on the bottom when the salt shaker shakes? Question! Who's doing the shaking of the shaker? Light of the world, we're in the light of the world, and so forth. I have to go. Can you see this? Light of the world. Light of the world for what? It's a roadway to where? You're lighting up the pathway to the kingdom of God. Is that what it said? They shall inherit the earth. We just read the words. You and I are to light up that road. Look at all those lights on that picture. You're one of those lights. And if you hide under a bushel basket, how in the world are they going to see where to go? They're not. Teach what? Teach the law. Why? Because that's just what I was just doing. Did you understand? I was just teaching the law of God. That's what I was doing. Teaching the law of God as he sat down and taught. We have the wrong connotation of law, but that's not a whole scripture. Look, on the inside. But next time you look in the mirror, I challenge you. I challenge you to see a little deeper than what is just reflecting back at you. Look at the expression on your face. Look at the wrinkles above your eyes. Look at some of those thoughts that you've been hiding from even yourself. And consider. Humble thyself. When Christ went out to teach in the Mount of Olives, he went out and sat down. Well, that's quite interesting. Another sermon. But he sat down. He didn't come up and club us on the head. He sat down and taught. Now the implication there, it is in a family atmosphere. Brothers, he's saying, sisters, this is the way. Blessed is he if you do this and that and that and this and that and this, and this is what's going to happen if you do all these things. Right? He's actually, I wanted to use the word pleading, but I don't think that's quite right. But he is a jury. Pushing hard. Did we notice that it's a step-by-step process? We must also step on each step. We can't skip a step in this process. this debt builds for the next, and the blessing comes automatically as we, because he made promises with each step, didn't he? He made promises. The commandments are very important and a part of the salty life. And somehow, I think we missed that. Did you hear what I said? The salty light. Two aspects. Salt and light. How do they go together? Something for you to contemplate and think about. Look at this guy. Ain't he doing something? Now how can you resist something like that? This is the attitude that we're supposed to have to our Creator. The ball is in our court. Oh yeah, we can even, it almost looks like he's waving with it, right? Waving with the ball. Thank you, Father. I love this ball. Thank you. The ball's in our court. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to share it with others? What are we going to do? You know, when we look at some of these things, I think it behooves us to consider something that I probably haven't said. How much we need each other. Do you understand that? Do you realize this feast would not be the same if one, just one of you was not here? Just one of you. My heart aches, and I know that Charles does too, for people that aren't here. He even goes to other feast sites to find people that are here. Right? And I've done the same. In fact, that's how I found this one. I was going from feast site to feast site. Looking and longing. Like I said before, I was starving for the words, for some minister to stand up and tell me the truth. Hopefully, you can see a little bit clearer than you did when I started today. It is my goal and my aim to become more like our Savior, and I know I got a long ways to go. And James, I've got to ask you to forgive me because I called you Jim at the door. I don't know if you even caught it. But I have my reasons and justifications that I could give you, but I did it, and I shouldn't have. I know you're James, and I love you, James. It's a very interesting concept, isn't it? Love. May the God of heaven bless us all. Thank you.